Let me encourage you to open your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that will be our text this morning that we're going to consider. Let's take a moment to go to God in prayer before we consider His Word. Our Father, as people of Your Word, we now open Your Word. And we so contemplate the instructions that were given to us through the hand of Your Apostle, so that we may be more like You, be more pleasing to You in all that we do. Thank You for this time. May we honestly and earnestly take in Your Word and change our lives accordingly. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. To those who are here today visiting with us, thank you for your presence. May God bless you. If there's anything we can do to help you, if you are looking to learn more about God and we may help study with you, we would love to do that. If you are traveling, may you go with God. May God keep you safe. Come back anytime you have an opportunity. There's a story about a young girl who was applying for college, and as she filled out the college application, she came to a question. The question was, are you a leader? Being a good Christian girl and honest, she had to say no. She thought for sure that her chances of getting into college were shot at that point, but a few weeks later, she received a letter from the college that said, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms revealed that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We're accepting you because we feel it's imperative that we have at least one follower." It's funny when you start looking at colleges, master programs revolve around leadership. You find this master program in leadership, and companies, they thrive on courses in leadership. We've been talking over the last 3 weeks about leadership, about Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. We've talked about the need for excellent leaders within our homes and within the Lord's church. And last week, how we can be excellent leaders. It is certainly true, as we've discovered so far, that there's an extent to which every one of us has influence over another. And that's what leadership is all about. It's about using our influence in a positive way. All of us have some influence, but we also notice that everyone is not a leader in the same way. That certainly, as you look in Ephesians chapter 4, there are some people who are unique leaders. There are some people who lead in ways that everyone does not lead. With that being said, while leaders are very important, it is certainly also true that we need a lot of followers, right? You don't have a lot of college classes that revolve around being a good father or master's degree programs in followership. And yet, if we're going to have good leaders, we have to have good followers, right? They have to go hand in hand with one another. Who are followers? Well, all of us are followers. All of us are followers to the same degree. Children are followers of their parents. Wives are followers of their husbands. Husbands, fathers are followers of the elders and of the Lord. Elders are followers of the Lord. In fact, there's no one living on earth who should not be a follower of God in some way or another. So while I understand over the last several weeks as we've talked about leadership, some people go, okay, I understand I have some influence over others, but most of these lessons don't apply directly to me. This lesson applies directly to all of us. Even the greatest leader that you can think of, all of us have to be followers to some degree or another. So how can we be excellent followers? What are the biblical principles we need to understand? The text that Gerald read just a moment ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, is a text that talks about a very specific type of leader and the followers. Let's read those verses again. "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Now, who are the leaders that are spoken of here? Well, they are leaders who labor and they are leaders who admonish. That could be taken as teachers and preachers, right? Because there's a labor that's involved there and an admonishing. But I think the words that are found in verse 12 and are over you in the Lord hone in on a very specific type of leader who admonishes and who labors, and that is an elder. So understanding, first of all, the text and the context and the direct participants of this text, that we are talking specifically about elders and the congregation and how they follow elders,
I want us to zoom out now to about 40,000 feet and look at this text not just as a model for elders and the congregation, but really a model for our leaders and followers. And a model that I believe would be helpful to us within our homes, within our churches, and within our country and our life. All right. So there are several principles as we zoom back that are found here that I think are really, really helpful to every one of us. The first one is recognize your leaders. Recognize them. Again, verse 12, I urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. Now, what does this word recognize mean? The word really means to have an experience with these people, to have some kind of relationship with them. It's not just to be able to pick them out in the crowd, but it's to know that person. Elders, 1 Timothy chapter 3, are to be people who show hospitality to the flock. Any leader ought to be someone who shares himself, but this text reminds us that it's not just about the leader sharing himself, but it's about the members sharing themselves as well. It's about members and family members taking time to know those who lead over them. It means speaking to them. It means asking questions of them, learning about them. It's about noting them and wanting to find out more about these people who are playing such an important part in your life. I remember when I was growing up, one of our elders, Hank Couchman in particular, was a man that when I saw him, I was just fascinated by him and the Christian man that he was. He was a quiet man in a lot of ways, but he was a strong man. And whenever I saw him as one of our elders. And I saw him for what he was doing. And even our preacher and the teachers that I had when I was growing up, those were people that were very important because they were doing something incredible. And I was curious about those people. And even my parents. This is something we really have lost today because we are so consumed with ourselves. And we're always taking selfies. We're always getting on Facebook, making sure everyone knows what we think and what our political views are and why everyone ought to agree with us. And so what we are doing today is we are losing interest in other people. And in particular, we're losing interest in our leaders. So Paul said, look, you need to slow down. You need to back up. You need to realize that life's not about you and what you're going through. That there are people who have a responsibility over you, and you need to start noticing those people. In particular, you need to notice the labor, Paul said, that they are engaged in. Recognize those who labor among you. And what are they doing in this labor? Verse 12 at the end of it, they admonish you. The word admonish means to instruct, to teach. It means to warn. It means to encourage. It's that person who comes into your life and they say, look, I have great hopes for you. Parents to their children. Trying to instruct them and say, hey, look, I want to teach you about what's right and what's helpful in life. Mothers and fathers in that case. Husbands to their wives. Honey, I'm here for you and I want to help you. And I want to encourage you in your work. It's about elders stepping into our lives sometimes. Saying those things that aren't always easy. Elders' wives know how difficult the task is that elders carry out. Perhaps preachers, more than anyone else in the congregation, have a better idea of what elders go through than most people. It's an arduous task. But guess what? It's hard to be a parent. And it's hard to be a husband. And it's hard to be a government leader. And when we see people who are taking on those roles, Paul warns us and tells us that we need to look at them and have a high regard for them because of what they are doing. They are helping to guide us. Were it not for parents, were it not for elders, we would be in a lot of trouble. But they've stepped in. So Paul says, first of all, you need to recognize them. The second thing he says in verse 13 is that you need to esteem them.
What does the word esteem mean? The word esteem simply means that you have an opinion about them. Oh, well, we all have opinions, right? And we are quick to give our opinions. And so people go, oh, I've got an opinion about my parents. I've got an opinion about our elders. But Paul doesn't just say that we are to have an opinion about them or to esteem them. He says we are to esteem them very highly. This tells us the way we ought to think about our parents. This tells us the way we ought to think about our husbands, our wives. This tells us how we ought to think about our elders. And, yes, it tells us how we ought to think about our government leaders. It means that we not only have an opinion about them, but it is a high opinion. It is literally an opinion that is above measure. And it's an opinion that we, because of what they are doing, and we so value what they are doing in their leadership of us, we put them way up there. They are so cool. They are so necessary. And importantly, we begin to act on that esteem. How do we act on that esteem? Verse 13 again. To esteem them highly in love. Love. We don't love accidentally, at least not this type of love. This type of love is a love of choice. It is a love of will. It's not that emotional love that comes almost involuntarily, like a guy when he starts seeing a girl, he just starts, you know, being attracted to her. That's not the type of love here. This is the type of love that comes when you watch what someone does and they endear themselves to you. And in so endearing themselves to you, you begin to have this genuine love for them. It is a love that comes when you respond to the work that they are doing. It's not just about elders again. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. It's about any form of leadership. But it's when people see you and they appreciate you. Paul's words in Galatians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, I think are really interesting. Paul said, "In my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. But you received me as an angel of God, even in Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." What Paul is saying, I worked hard and you saw that and you responded by esteeming me highly. Interestingly enough, within the context, he's saying, why then are you turning away from me? But Paul is saying that you responded. You began to esteem me. And that's important for us. When you see elders who are working hard, you begin to notice them and lift them up. When you sit down at the dinner table at night and there's food on the table, young people, you esteem your parents, you esteem your guardians for their work's sake. And you're saying, look, you know, I'm eating right now. I'm really grateful. I got a roof over my head. I got warm clothes that I can wear right now. And the same ought to be said of wives when they look at their husbands. Within the church, when you have steady leadership, we need to esteem those guys because they are so important to who we are. And that means we need to be patient with them as well. My family will tell you that I've got a lot of flaws. And our elders here will tell you, well, they'll tell you that I've got a lot of flaws, but they'll tell you they've got a lot of flaws too. Any leader will tell you that they are not perfect. We don't follow leaders because they're perfect. We follow leaders because they are seeking to help us and they've stepped into a difficult role. Years ago when I was in Chiefland, Florida, preaching, there's an older gentleman there by the name of Raymond Paul. I was visiting one day and he was all mad at his doctor. He was talking about how his doctor has this horrible bedside manner. And I said, well, Brother Paul, why don't you find another doctor? He said, why would I get rid of him? He's a great doctor. You may not always like your leaders. You may not like your parents sometimes. You may not like the elders of the congregation. They may not be the people that you'd want to spend a lot of time with. But if they are leading you and guiding you and they're trying to help you, Paul's words to us are that we need to esteem them and lift them up very highly for what they are doing. And the third thing Paul tells us is at the end of verse 13, that is, be at peace among yourselves. This is really a great way to wrap up this study that we've been involved in a very natural way that Paul wrapped things up here. In speaking of the role of leaders that we've been through over the last several weeks, but even briefly within this text, that they labor and they admonish, and in speaking of the role of followers, Paul concludes the whole thing by saying, everybody be at peace with one another. There's an incredible simplicity there. Paul doesn't say, everyone be at peace with one another, and I'm going to tell you five ways that you can be at peace with one another. I'll preach that later on, by the way. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul just says, be at peace with one another. You know what that says? This isn't complicated, guys. It's not hard to know how to be at peace with one another. When you're angry, ladies, at your husband, you know why you're angry. And you know that you're angry. Husbands, when you're mad at your wives, you know that you're angry. And most of the time, you know how you could get out of that situation. I do. So, you know what Paul is saying there? Paul's saying, look, don't fight with one another. It seems to me that there are some people who love drama. Maybe some of you. It seems to me that there are some people, they just want to fight. I don't understand that. I don't want to fight. I don't like it when there's tension. I want everybody gets along. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder. It's only going to hurt you in the long run. Get over whatever drama is going on. And in your home with your parents, pursue peace. In the church, with the elders, pursue peace. Because few things are more grieving than discord in the family and discord in the church. So to leaders, the lessons we dealt with over the last several weeks, and especially last week, take on those characteristics of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, okay? Stop fussing about it. Stop fighting about it. Every man in this congregation in particular who is married, assume the role of the Good Shepherd and lead in a godly way. And seek peace with your family. Elders, lead as Jesus Christ and seek peace in the family. But to followers, be at peace. Mike Schaff will tell you. Mike Morris will tell you. John Anderson, Larry Coffey. Anyone who's ever worked between management and laborers will always tell you there is a conflict that has always been there between the two. Right? There's always been a conflict between kings and their subjects. There's always been a conflict between the haves and the have-nots. And so, what does Paul tell us in these verses? He tells us that that's the way it is in the church sometimes. There will always be a conflict between those who lead and those who follow. So Paul said, guys, be at peace with one another. Sometimes it's difficult for shepherds in the church and fathers in the home, parents in the home to lead. You know, we've talked about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He is our model. In a lot of ways, those who follow are like sheep. And we go, oh, well, you know, that's so sweet. You know, I've seen sheep before, and they're white, and they're small, and got these dangly legs, and they're so cute, and they're cuddly, and I've held one before, and it goes, ah, you know, and you say, oh, you know, they're just so sweet and everything, and I had one when I was a little kid, a little stuffed animal, and I went to bed at night, you know, oh, so sweet. They're not always like that. You know, sometimes sheep are really, really vicious. Sometimes they're prone to wander away. Sometimes they're self-willed. Sometimes they're angry. Sometimes they have sharp hooves. And sometimes children are like this picture. And sometimes members of the church are like this picture. It's not always easy for someone who leads. So Paul said, don't make it any harder on them. Leaders, don't make it hard on those that you follow. Those who follow, don't make it hard on the leaders. If I could give you one suggestion to add what Paul said, it would be this. Make sure if you're a follower, you submit to those who lead you. Now, this is a universal command. Children, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's right. Submit to your parents. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. You know, what the old law said, what Paul is telling us is, it is in your best interest to submit to those who lead you. Don't make it hard on them. You read through the book of Proverbs and you'll find Solomon saying, my son, heed my word. Heed the word of your mother. Don't make it hard on your parents. You'll regret it one day. My mom and dad would tell me that I was not the worst kid around when I was growing up, but I do remember things that I did that I regret. Things that I said to my parents that in retrospect I wish I had not. Don't make it hard on them. Wives, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, Paul says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, stop passively, aggressively trying to control and manipulate your husbands to accomplish what you want, but to submit to them and their leadership of the home. To members of the congregation, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You know what that's telling us? As members of this congregation, we need to be mindful of our elders. Don't make it hard on them. Obey them, submit to them, and even on a national level. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will, what? Of God. That's big, guys. If you've not liked President Barack Obama for the last 8 years, I hope, though you may have posted things, I hope you did so respectfully, and I hope you submitted to him as our president, because that is exactly what he was. And if you don't like President-elect Donald Trump, you may post things on Facebook. I hope and pray they are factual. You may choose to protest in a lawful way, but it is the will of God at the end of the day for us to submit ourselves to our leaders. Because when we don't submit ourselves to our leaders, guess what? There's chaos in the home, there's chaos in the church, and there's chaos in the country. And by the way, if you look at your home right now and you see chaos, it is likely because someone is not following. If you look at the congregation and there is chaos, it is likely because someone is not following. So don't contribute to that. You say, well, what if I don't like where leaders are taking me? What am I supposed to do then? Well, I think there are two questions you need to ask yourself. The first one is, do I have a choice in following them? And this is a complicated question because there are a lot of different answers here. Yeah, back before the election, you had all these people go, well, you know, if this person's elected, I'm moving out of the country. Yeah. Well, it's not a sin before the Lord if you move out of the country. Okay. So you have that option, and you're not sinning if you decide to do that. Within the congregation and elders, I would ask myself, is there some reason why I believe this man is no longer qualified to serve? Not simply did he or the elders make a decision I don't like, but is there something about him that 1 Timothy chapter 3, is there something about him that no longer jives with that text? Right. If you can look at some characteristic of him and see because of this he is no longer qualified, then you might have a leg to stand on there. If you just don't like a decision that he made because you don't like the decision, you wanted something else, you have a responsibility to submit. But it does change when you start looking at mothers and fathers. While the Bible is very clear that there are characteristics that mothers and fathers should have, the fact is someone can become a mother or father without those characteristics. And guess what? Children are still responsible to submit.
And a husband may not be the husband he's supposed to be, but if he's one's husband, you still have to submit. So you're going to have to wrestle with that question there. And if you're struggling in some way, as you try to figure out, you know, what is my responsibility? You have to ask yourself, do I have a choice? And the second question you need to ask yourself is, if I follow them, will I be sinning? Is there something about where they want to take me that is unbiblical, that will not please the Lord? If that's the case, the apostle said we ought to obey God rather than men. So that's a very clear answer. But you really need to wrestle with those questions before you begin to say, you know, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you throw off that shackle of leadership. We're going to go do our own thing. Because you might be sinning. You may not be the follower God wants you to be. Let me give you a couple of closing admonitions and we'll wrap the lesson up. Two things I want you to really think about as followers. First of all, just sort of pulling back from all of this text, help those that are leading you. I guess this sort of could have fallen under the idea of submitting to them. Don't make it rough on them. But I want to be more active here. Help them. God made Eve to be Adam's helper. Isn't that great? You know what that tells us? Adam was not sufficient in and of himself. He needed someone else. Leaders in the home, in the congregation, they need helpers, guys. We talked last week about leaders being people who will listen to the advice of others. You want to be an excellent follower. Be someone who is going to come to your leader with excellent advice. Learned advice, deep advice, and come and speak to them. And as you're trying to help them, pray for your leaders. This is Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Really interesting words. He's just talked about the armor of faith. And he said in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. Okay? So Paul said, be praying for these things. Paul said, though, I want you to pray for me also, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, look, I'm doing something difficult. I need your prayers. You want to be an excellent follower? You want to stand before God one day having said, God, I may have been flawed, but I fulfilled my responsibility to follow my parents, to follow my husband, to lead my wife, to follow our elders. Pray for them. Pray for the work that they're doing. Pray for preachers and what they are doing. Pray for teachers. Pray that doors will be opened for them. Pray that your parents will be able to have jobs, that they'll love one another, that your home will stay together. Ladies, pray for your husband to be strong. Pray for him to resist temptation and honor him and respect him. Pray for the elders of the congregation and pray that they have strength and wisdom and they know how to handle situations. Pray for their wives. Be active. Pray. Because we're all followers. Every Moses needs an Aaron. Every Jesus needs 12 apostles there. Some of you will be leaders, and some of you are leaders. All of us are followers. Don't begrudge that role. Don't think little of it. Don't think that you're not important because you're a follower. You are crucial in the scheme of God. So let's close our time together with one another now by asking this very simple question. That is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you submitted to Jesus Christ? If you're not, we're about to sing a song of encouragement that we would love to see you this morning make the decision that you want to follow Jesus. Jesus is the captain of our soul, the Hebrew writer said. He is the one who longs to guide us in the perfect way. If you've been following the world, you're following the wrong one. And you're following a path that will only harm you in the long run. Follow Jesus. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus said. Come to him this morning. If you're ready to submit, the waters for baptism are ready. You can be baptized, have all your sins washed away. You can leave here
not just cleansed of your sin, but a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God and you not follow Jesus the way you ought to, maybe you haven't followed the elders the way you ought to, maybe you haven't followed your husband the way you ought to, maybe you haven't followed your parents the way you ought to, and you recognize, I got to change this. There's discord and struggle within the family, and I'm part of it. And I need to change my attitude, and I need to start following in a godly way. Then we'd encourage you as we sing to make that right with the Lord. And if you want to come forward and you want the prayers of the congregation, we'd love to pray with you. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation now? Won't you come while we stand, while we sing for your encouragement?